It's good to be with you tonight, and we're excited about what the Lord's going to do. And I taught a class this morning, and I told the guys, I said, the devil is in sound systems. He just always is, and there is no question about that. And we're thinking, if you want me to do something different, just yell at me, or this? We're good? Pulpit. Move it away. Oh, I'm on it now. Okay, now I can't move. All right, that's good. Okay, we're good to go. Good to see you tonight. Grab your Bibles, if you will, and go with me to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6 is a classic passage of Scripture, one that I think many of you are probably familiar with. I know that the kids and the youth are out in different areas around the campus tonight, and so we won't spend a lot of time preaching on Ephesians 6:1, but all the parents are glad that's in the Bible. Amen? And we're thankful for that. I want us to think that last song that we just sang about our heart's desire, longing for the Lord. You know, sometimes we forget how important it is for us to have an incredible passion for the Lord. We get so busy doing things and serving, and we're in a busy church, and there's all kinds of things going on. And if we're not careful, we just get busy doing stuff, and we lose our passion for the Lord. Now, if you haven't found this to be true, it's okay for us as independent fundamental Baptists to still have passion for the Lord. We ought to have a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not wrong for us to show it and to let other people see that we have a passion for the Lord. If somebody comes and tries to sell me something, they're not very passionate about it, I kind of get turned off, right? We're not trying to sell Jesus, but I'll tell you something. People ought to see something different in our lives that they want. And sometimes as Christians, we just get so busy doing all the stuff we do. And I'm not saying that's bad. We should do all the things that we do. But sometimes we get so busy doing all of those things, we lose a little bit of our heart's longing, our heart's passion, our heart's desire for the Lord. So I want us to think for just a moment tonight about some things that I believe Ephesians chapter 6 can help us with in this area of developing a passionate heart for the Lord. I want us to think about how we can go about doing these things and just make it practical. Aren't you glad that Christianity is just a practical thing? It's just everyday living, doing the things that the Lord has called us to do, and I'm thankful for that. Ephesians chapter number 6, and we're, for the sake of time, going to jump down and start reading in verse number 5. And so follow along with me there in verse number 5. The Bible says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." If you're in the habit of marking in your Bibles, I encourage you to mark that last phrase of verse number 6 where it says, "doing the will of God from the heart." You see, there's a passion in that. We all can be doing something, but there ought to be a little bit of heart in it. There ought to be some passion in it. There ought to be some desire in it. And I want us to think about how we can go about incorporating that into our busy lives, into the hectic schedules that we live, and how we can allow our heart to be a heart that is on fire and passionate for the Lord. Would you join me in prayer, and let's ask the Lord tonight to just help us put these truths into action in our lives. Father, thank you for this day, and we certainly thank you for the opportunity that we have to be able to gather together here this evening and allow you to do the work that you desire to do in our hearts and lives. And Father, we pray that you would just speak to our hearts. We pray that the Spirit of the Lord would have freedom to accomplish what he desires to accomplish in each of our hearts tonight. Certainly, Lord, I yield as best as I know how to the leading of the Spirit of God tonight, that you might say through me those things that you desire to be said, and that the Spirit of God would take with great freedom and liberty and instill the truths of the Word of God into the hearts of every one of us that are here tonight, that we might leave this place changed, that we might leave this place a Christian that has a greater passion and love. And even as that chorus that we sang said, that our hearts would long for you, just as a deer would for that cool drink of water. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You know, when you study your Bible, you'll find this idea of your heart mentioned over 160 times. Now, those times are not referring to the organ that's beating in your chest, that's putting the blood through your body, that's making you live. It's not referring to that physical organ, but metaphorically, if you will, it's referring to the center of the human will. It's focused on our emotions, on our mind and our will, our desire to do the things that we do with a passion. May I remind you, the Bible says this, that we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every single person is going to stand before the Lord one day or another. I don't know about you, but I want to stand before Him as my Savior, not as my judge. Amen? But when I stand before Him as my Savior, can I just remind you of something? Our works, the things that we have done, are going to be sifted through. And we can be busy, and busy is fine. But if we don't have a heart like we should, then I don't think all the things that we do will amount all that much when we stand before the Lord. Where's our heart tonight? Where's your passion for the Lord? Can I give you just a couple things tonight quickly? I won't keep you long. I appreciate you being here on this Wednesday evening. I can just give you a few things that might encourage our hearts as we strive to have a heart for the Lord and get some passion for doing the things that we do. If we're going to have a heart for the Lord, first of all, I think that it's going to require the right attitude. The right attitude. Hey, sometimes, have you ever told a teenager or a kid, don't give me that attitude? Have you ever told someone like that, you know, don't cop that attitude with me? And we're sometimes good at giving an attitude. Oh, the boss says something we don't like and we get an attitude. Somebody does something we don't like, we get an attitude. I'm not talking about that kind of an attitude. I'm talking about in art or in sculpture, they refer to that piece as having an attitude. And what do they mean by that? It means that it's action that's being portrayed, the posture that it has in that painting or in that sculpture. It's the way that it's being described. Can I just say this? As a Christian tonight, our actions, our posture in life must be one that shows that we love the one we say we love. To say that we have a passion. See, it's one thing. My wife wasn't able to come tonight. I wish she was able to be here, but she had things that were pressing at our church for her to do tonight. But if I told my wife that I loved her, and I just said it, you know, matter-of-factly, I love you, and then I never did anything to prove that love, how many of you think she would feel I'm sincere? No. Because my actions have to back up my words. And you know, can I just tell you, as a Christian, our actions have got to back up our words. We're good at saying amen in church, and we ought to. We're good at saying the right things and doing the right things, but our heart must be behind it if we're going to accomplish anything of eternal value for the Lord. We need to have an attitude. The Bible tells us here in verse number 5, as being servants of the Lord, if you will, we're servants of Christ there in verse number 6, doing the will of God from the heart. We're going to have to have an attitude of submission. An attitude of submission. We're going to have to be willing to submit to the Lord, yield our will to His desire. And if you look it up in the dictionary, one of the definitions of submission, of yielding, is yielding to one's will without murmuring. Now that's tough to do, is it not? Without complaining. Have you ever done something that you didn't want to do and you went ahead and did it, but you didn't have the right attitude doing it? That's not having a heart for the Lord. Oh, I've got to do this. Oh, my bus captain's making me do this. My Sunday school, my pastor, they're making me do this. We have to do this, have to do that. No. Let's check our attitudes. Do we have an attitude of submission? We are servants of Christ. Out of our heart should flow a willingness, should flow an eagerness to do all the things that God desires us to do. Listen, whatever God asks us to do, what an incredible blessing to be able to be a servant of the Most High God. And we ought to view it that way. The Bible tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 7, He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How many of you want to know that Satan is fleeing from you? Come on, help me out now. How many of you want to know that Satan's fleeing from you? I think any level-headed Christian would say, that's what I want. I want to know that Satan is running from me, not I'm not in his camp. How does that happen? Well, the Bible says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. We've got to have an attitude of submission. We've got to be willing to do what God wants us to do without murmuring. The Bible speaks to us right here in these verses. In verse 5, it says, in our singleness of heart, not only do we need to have an attitude of submission, but an attitude of surrender, an attitude of being willing to do what He wants us to do whenever He wants us to do it. Singleness of heart. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1 and 2 speak to us about being a living sacrifice. It says that that's holy and acceptable and well-pleasing to the Lord. And we're to live this type of a life every single day, surrendering to His will and not to the will of that which is around us. How many of you have figured out that America is in some pretty serious trouble right now? And there's a lot of forces that are buying for the attention of every person alive right now. Who are you going to surrender your will to? You can read in the book of Romans the importance of who you yield your members to, as the Bible says. And who you yield yourself to, you are going to obey. I don't know about you, I want to have an attitude of absolute surrender to the Lord. I want to be willing to do whatever He wants, wherever He wants, whenever He wants, however, whatever God wants me to do. I want to have a heart that says, God, I'm willing to do that. I am surrendered to You. Comes with having the right attitude, an attitude of submission, an attitude of surrender. Yes, we've mentioned this several times, but we ought to have an attitude of service. We ought to be willing to serve God. Can I just remind you this? We are here tonight. We are here, we are alive today because God wants us to serve Him. You see, if you were done serving God, you would not be alive anymore. You'd be in heaven. And so for the very fact that you're here and you're breathing and you're alive and you're able to do the things that you do simply means very basically that God has something for you to do. God has a plan for you. Now, I can't tell you there's some generic plans and some things that, according to the will of God, that all of us are being involved in. And then there's certainly the specific will of God that we all have a line to the Lord and He can show us and help us know what we need to do. But you know, we are to serve the Lord. We're here to serve Him. Did you notice this even in the Bible speaking to servants that are out there working in the workforce and really more of a slave, if you will. Servants, He says, be obedient to them to your masters according to the flesh. He says, in singleness of heart as unto Christ. When you go to work, when you go do the things that you do all the time, we ought to say, you know, I'm doing this because I am the Lord's servant. It doesn't matter. Many times people say, well, what do you do? Well, I'm this. I'm a carpenter. I'm an electrician. I'm a mechanic. I work at a grocery store. I do this. I do that. I own my own business. I'm a farmer, whatever. Well, I say, well, that's what I do. Now, can I just remind you of something? What you do is you are a Christian that is a carpenter. You are a servant of Christ that works at the store. You are a servant of Christ that farms. You are first and foremost one of Christ's servants. Oh, what an incredible blessing to be able to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not forget what a great privilege it is to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've got to have the right attitude. But it can't just stop there. Sometimes as Christians say, okay, well, I want to have a heart for God and that's my passion and that's the desire that I have to do these things. And so, yes, I want to make sure I have that passion. But if that passion stays in here and doesn't go anywhere, we're really not accomplishing that much. And so if we're going to have this attitude of passion and a heart for the Lord, we're going to have the right attitude. But secondly, I think as we're looking through these verses, it's going to require that we have the right actions. That we have the right actions in life. The Bible tells us that first part of the phrase I encouraged you to mark in your Bibles in verse number 6, it says, doing the will of God. Doing. Doing. You know what doing is? That means you have to do something. That means it requires action. You can't just say, well, it doesn't say thinking about it. It doesn't say, this is what we do real spiritual. Say, I'm going to pray about it. I'll pray about it. No, the Bible says doing it. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't pray about it. We should be people of prayer without doubt.
But we need to be busy doing what God has called us to do. With any life endeavor as a Christian, action is the key. Hey, we teach that little song to the kids, right? Action is the key. Do it immediately. Joy you will receive. I mean, we've got to be busy doing something for the Lord. And just think with me for a few moments about some Bible characters that we all know. If Paul would have not gone, how many churches would have not been started? If Paul would have just said, I'm going to pray about it. Oh, I'm going to think about it. Oh, I sure hope somebody does it. If Paul would have not gone, how many churches would have not been able to be started? If David would have not walked down into that valley and picked up those five smooth stones and said, hey, I'm not going to let this uncircumcised Philistine speak about my Lord that way. He said, I'm going to do something about it. If he wouldn't have fought, there wouldn't have been a victory. You remember the story of Elijah and Elisha? Elijah's life on earth is getting ready to be done. Elisha is following him, and Elijah says, if you see me go up, then you'll receive what you've asked. And Elisha saw it, and the mantle fell, and he picked up the mantle, and he walked back to the river's edge. What if Elisha would have just said, well, I really need to pray about this. Well, I sure hope something happens. Okay, God, show me your power. Just do something. I mean, you know, part the waters, you know, float me across, do something. No, what did he have to do? He smote it. He struck the water. If he wouldn't have done that, there wouldn't have been no great power for Elisha. If Noah would have not built the ark, there would have been no boat to save the people. If Joshua wouldn't have crossed the river like he was commanded to, there would be no Israel. Hey, if Jesus would have not come to earth, there would be no salvation. We could go all through the Bible and look at character after character after character. And if they would have not done what needed to be done, there would have been dire consequences. And so all I'm saying tonight is this. We've got to be willing to put the action to what's in our heart. I think sometimes this is where we fail, and this is where we're scared. And we say, well, I'm just not sure. I don't want to do the wrong thing. And certainly we want to do the right thing and accomplish it the right way and those kinds of things. A lot of people want to have a heart for God, but fewer people actually have one. Where are you tonight? You want one, I'm sure. You wouldn't be here on a Wednesday evening after a busy day. But is your heart actually where it's supposed to be? Is action marked in your steps on the day-to-day life? We've got a desire to do the things that God wants us to do. We've got a plan, and how are we going to accomplish this and get busy doing it? You know, what you desire for in life, what your desires are in life, are proven by what you plan for and plan on in life. What you desire. If you desire to do a great work for God, that will be seen by what you plan for. But what you plan on and how you run your life, if it's other things that control our actions, then that will be seen as well. We've got to develop a heart for God. Let me just ask you some questions. Just get our minds to thinking and allow the Lord to give you some answers tonight. How can you better develop your heart for the Lord tonight? How can you better develop it? I'm not saying we don't have one at all. We certainly do. But how can it be better? How can we increase it? How can our passion for the Lord be greater than it already is? See, sometimes we just get content with where we are. We get at ease in Zion, if you will. I think one of the reasons that we must strive to continue going forward and continue, as your theme is to see God work in our lives in a greater way. How can you better develop your heart, your passion for the Lord Jesus Christ? How can you tell more people about Jesus than you already are? Some of you say, well, I'm out every single week. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Maybe there's some that through this whole year already, I mean, we're already in the latter part of the year and the holidays are just around the corner and it's going to be the first part of next year before we know it. If we don't get busy and if we don't do something, we might have an entire year go by without telling somebody about Jesus Christ. How can you go about telling somebody about Christ? How can you improve your passion? You see, one of the reasons that people have a hard time telling others about Christ is because our heart is divided. And if your heart is divided, well, I want the good things from Christ, but I don't want to kind of go all the way. Well, I want to do some, but I don't want everything. How can you have a heart for the Lord and not tell somebody about Him? I don't know about you. I mean, I was only 7 when I got saved. I was a child. I thank the Lord for being raised in a Christian home. But I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for Christ, I can't imagine what life would be like. I'm thankful for my Savior. And I'm certainly not the greatest at these things, but I want to have a heart that draws other people to Him. I want other people just to see through my life and the things that I say and the things that I do, that there's a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we give more? How can we serve more? How can we love God's people more? How can we love this world more? You know, the world is focused on what they call love. It's not Bible love. Let's show what Bible love is. Let's show people the love of Christ. We've got to do and be busy and performing these actions. Thirdly, if you will, not only do we have the right attitude and do the right things, keep our actions appropriate, but we have to remain attentive. This might really be maybe where the rubber hits the road for us as a Wednesday night crowd tonight. Remain attentive. If you sit down and think about, especially those in Christian school, those in the college and all these things, I mean, we are around the Bible all the time. We're always learning, always reading, always understanding different things. And if we're not careful, we can kind of, without maybe even knowing it, tune a little bit of a deaf ear to the Lord. We've got to remain attentive. I can remember growing up, my mom would say, no matter where we were, whether it was in a grocery store or our church or wherever it was, you'd better listen for me when I call your name. Have you ever heard somebody say something like that? You better listen. What did that mean? I'd better stay attentive to when my mother calls. Can I say this? As Christians, let's never get to the place to where we're not paying close attention to that still, small voice. When God speaks to us, when God is encouraging us, when God is encouraging us to do something, paying attention to God. Let me ask you tonight, who has your attention? Who has your attention? Is it somebody on Fox News? Heaven help you if it is. I'm telling you, it'll discourage you. It'll depress you. And if they have your attention, if you can't get your nose out of your phone reading all these things, well, what's going to happen with this? Well, what's going to happen with that? Well, what's this senator doing about this? And what's Kavanaugh doing about that? And all these kinds of things. Listen, y'all don't know me very well, but I think we ought to be involved in our country as much as possible. I go to Raleigh all the time, meet with people, go to D.C., meet with our senator. I mean, I think we ought to be involved. But if they are the ones that have our attention, we're missing the whole point of this thing. Our attention ought to be on Jesus Christ. Looking unto Him who is the author and finisher of our faith. Keep your focus on Christ. Listen, it doesn't matter what is going on. I believe God has given us as Americans a little bit of a space of grace to get something done for Him in these years. But if we just focus more on that than on keeping our attention on the Lord and we're not listening to Him, we're failing miserably as a Christian. And so we must remain attentive to the Lord. Who has your attention? If we're not careful, we live in an age where information is everywhere. And if we're not careful, all of these other things will buy for attention instead of just listening to Christ. Instead of maintaining an attentive ear to the Lord. Proverbs 23 and 20, verse 26 says, "My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways." He says, I want all of you. Does God have all of you tonight? Does He have every part of you? Paying attention to the Lord, paying attention to God's plan. How many of you understand tonight that God's way is the best way? God's plan is the best plan. Whatever it is, even though it might take some twists and turns that you weren't planning on, His way is the best way. His way is without doubt that which we ought to follow all the time. Can I just encourage you with this tonight? Don't try to make His plan fit into your plan. Don't try to force His plan to fit into your plan. You just throw away your own plans and you let God's plan control your life. His way is best. Remain attentive to the Lord. You can't fake this. You can't fake really having a heart for God. You can't fake having a passion for the Lord. Maybe for a little bit of time you might fake it to somebody else, but the Lord knows it immediately. The Lord knows it. I mean, those of you that have had kids or around kids, you pretty much know when your kids are being obedient. When you say, "Hey, go clean up your room," and you can tell whether they're doing it under protest or not, can't you? You can tell whether their heart's really in it or not. And the Lord can see right through our superficial actions. Let's remain attentive. Let's not lose our passion for listening to the Lord. You know, I think it's a sad thing. Many times Christians today, we say, "Oh, it's so exciting to be around new Christians." And it is. It is exciting to be around new Christians. Oh, they're so excited about the things of the Lord. Oh, they're on fire. Oh, they're excited about this, excited about that. And they are. But can I say this to those of you that might be more seasoned Christians? Shame on us for letting a new Christian put us to shame for our passion for the Lord. Shame on us for letting a new Christian who has not experienced much of God working in their lives. They've experienced salvation, which is incredible. But if you've been saved for any length of time and you've walked through the valleys and you've seen God faithful and you've seen how God works in your life and you've seen God save your family and do this and do that and build your church. Shame on us for letting somebody that just got in put us to shame for how wonderful the Lord is. Do you know what happens? We just become cold over a period of time. And we're not paying attention to the Lord. Let me give you just one more and we'll be done tonight. In these last couple verses, verse number 7 specifically, he says that we're supposed to be doing the will of God from the heart with good will. Notice verse 7, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Lastly, number 4, if we're going to have a heart for God, it's going to be a heart that rejects apathy. A heart that rejects apathy. We should not be men pleasers. We have a lot of that in our circles today. Trying to please so-and-so, trying to make sure so-and-so's happy in the generation that's online and doing the Facebook thing, the Twitter thing, and Instagram, and all of these things. That, well, if I post that, I won't get as many likes. Well, if I do this, some friends might not be my friends anymore. And we're more focused on what other people think than what Jesus thinks. Christians, it's time for us to wake up and realize that the only thing that matters is what Jesus thinks of our life. We reject this apathy. The apathy in verse number 5, he talks about having a single mindset, being focused on the Lord. And we ought to reject getting our mind off of Christ. We are the servants of the Lord. We ought not please men. Just to please men. If we live our life trying to please men, you're going to be pursuing something you will never catch. Ever. But I'll tell you something. If you live your life based on pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ, that will be something that for all of eternity you will reap the rewards of. Oh, verses 6 and 7, kind of summarizing these verses, I think more than just the things that we've already looked at specifically, I think if we were able to summarize this, what Paul is trying to tell this church at Ephesus is, listen, don't just go through the motions. Don't just go through the motions. We come to church, we sing our song, we pray, we shake hands, we give in the offering, we do this, we do that, we send our kids on the activities, we get involved in the different things that are going on. But can I say, can I ask, are you just going through the motions? Or is there really a heart behind it? Is there really a passion to continue in the things of God? Does your service for Christ come from your heart? You remember this parable that Jesus shared with us in the Gospel of Mark. There were a lot of rich men that came into the temple and they had their money box in the back. And they all made a big show of emptying their coin purses. Oh, look how much money, boy. We're gonna pay off this building with all this. Look at all that I can give. Look at all that I can do. And Jesus, I don't know exactly what his mannerisms were, but I kind of just picture him standing in the corner with his disciples, just kind of, okay. And then a little old lady came in. And for sake of analogy, just kind of dropped in a penny. And the disciples didn't think much about it. They're probably like, well, you know, that's so little. That makes no difference in the offering. Why didn't you just keep it? You might have been able to do something. But can I ask you, which one was Jesus happy with? The little widow. Why? Because it came from her heart. Because there was something behind it. So let's not just look at all the things we do. Let's not just look at all the things that we're busy accomplishing. Let's tonight check our hearts and say, am I as passionate for the Lord as maybe I once was? Hey, if you're a Christian, you've been saved for any length of time, maybe right now you are not as passionate for the things of the Lord as you were at one time. Why don't you get back to the place that God wants you to be? Maybe you've been struggling for a period of time and saying, I just don't feel like I'm getting anywhere with the Lord, and I just feel like there's some obstacles in these different things and I'm struggling with my flesh. Why don't you submit yourself to the Lord and resist the devil and he will flee from you? The Bible tells us that. But whatever we do, let's do it with a heart for the Lord. Let's do it with a passion to make a difference. As long as Jesus tarries his coming, let's bow our hearts and heads together.